The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Joe Malloy of Off the Ball is with me. Joe, of course, we're going to talk about the All-Ireland in just a moment. Before that, though, I know you are a fan, of course, of the small ball. And I don't mean hurling. I mean golf, the smallest there is. How significant is it, Henrik Stenson, this week, being stripped of his Ryder Cup captaincy for joining this LIV golf tour? Tell me, first of all, maybe a little bit about it and then how significant it is.
Well, it's unprecedented. I mean, we definitely had a moment in Off the Ball this week when we were thinking, should we cover this? And then we realized the European Tour captain has just walked out on the job. Of course we should. It's insane, really, in many ways. In effect, I think people are broadly aware at this stage of the Saudi-backed LIV Golf League, which is the real upstart in golf. And slowly but surely, it's taking some of the world's best players and paying them enormous sums of money. The likes of Phil, is Mickelson getting, you know, close to $200 million, and Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, both getting $100 million each just to go and play on this LIV Golf Tour. And what they have done this week, Greg Norman is the CEO of this Saudi-backed league. I suppose it's like almost, let's cause as much chaos as we can. So Henrik Stenson, a major winner and a European Tour legend in many ways, he is the Ryder Cup captain. He's taken over from Padraig Harrington, the Ryder Cup being next year. And they went and said, Henrik, how does 40 mil sound? And Stenson thought about it, and I'm sure there was some deliberation, but 40 million is 40 million. And so he accepted the LIV Golf offer. And this week, the European Tour said, well, you're cut. You know, you're done. There's no way you can join this rival league to our European Tour and think you're still the Ryder Cup captain. So they released a short statement. Stenson released a rather lengthy statement. And, you know, he was saying he was hoping he could do both, maybe, but that was never going to happen. So, you know, this extraordinary period in golf, which has been in particular the last 6 months, has now cut the legs from under the European Ryder Cup team. So it's kind of extraordinary. You know, this is one of the big honours in the game to be Ryder Cup captain. You know, it's generally not something people walk away from. And it's worth quite a lot of money as well. I mean, they say being European Ryder Cup captain in terms of speaking fees and corporate work afterwards can be worth, you know, $4 million potentially. And that's not to be sniffed at, but then again, 40 million is not bad either.
No, and I know Padraig Harrington has said, you know, he wished he could have waited, you know, 15 odd months until the Ryder Cup was over, and a different, you know, players in the tour coming out in different sides of this. In terms of LIV Golf, though, and its place and the kind of the golfing spectrum, does there come a point where the European Tour and the PGA Tour in the States, where they just have to, they're going to have to accept the reality of LIV Golf, that if more like Stenson go, they can't kind of maintain this position of, well, if you go, then you're gone. The kind of George Bush, you're with us or against us.
I think we're nearing the point of critical mass. Like, LIV Golf 6 months ago looked to be, to use Rory McIlroy's phrase, dead in the water, because Phil Mickelson did some interview which he thought was off the record, and he talked about how, look, I know they kill gay people and I know they killed Khashoggi and I know they're scary mother blank, but, you know, they're helping me leverage the tour. And this came out in the open, and Phil was roundly criticized, as you might imagine, and a slew of players rushed to say, well, look, I'm done, I'm, you know, I'm not going to go near the tour. But fast forward 6 months, money has talked, and there's even some whispers now that the winner of the British Open just last weekend, Cam Smith, that he's going to go for $90 million. You can't, to your question, you can't keep losing these big, big names like DeChambeau and Koepka and potentially Cam Smith and others and just say, well, you're persona not grata in the world of golf. Like, the majors will have to play ball with LIV Golf. You know, you want these big names at the majors. Basically, where they are at the moment, LIV Golf, that is, what will really legitimize this whole venture is if their players get world ranking points for playing in LIV Golf events. That's the holy grail.
Okay.
That's what they're chasing at the moment. I think here on, and this sounds rather exciting maybe, but actually it's going to be incredibly boring. We're headed for the courts. That's where this is going pretty soon. And that's going to be one drawn out long spectacle. But increasingly, again, to your point, some of the bigger players, even Harrington, Padraig Harrington, is saying, we're kind of at a point now where we have to accept that LIV Golf is not going anywhere and it's got a lot of the world's best players, so we're going to have to bring them in the tent one way or another. So I think grudgingly PGA Tour and European Tour are probably realizing that, but it's just been the most extraordinary 6 months. Like,
Yeah,
like I said, if you'd said to me the European Tour Ryder Cup captain would down tools and head off into the sunset, I would have struggled to believe that not so long ago.
Well, listen, if it does end up in the courts, I suspect you and I will be speaking about it time and time again.
Please God, no.
Into
please
the
God
future. No. Let's talk about the All-Ireland then, of course. Yeah. Galway and Kerry this weekend in Croke Park. What are the, I suppose, not so much the individual matchups on the field, but what are the issues that will determine where Sam Maguire goes?
Well, it's just so interesting in that Galway are here ahead of schedule under Padraig Joyce, legendary player, two-time All-Ireland winner, you know, arrived in the midst of COVID and before this year had taken Galway for three championship matches. They lost to Mayo year one. That was it. It was 2020. There was no qualifiers. And 2021, they beat Roscommon, but again, they lost to Mayo. And so they pitched up in 2022 and it was, you know, already Joyce's third year. And there was like, probably unfairly, but a sense of, well, come on, Pádraig, time to do something. And they have really done something. They've reached an All-Ireland final here, unexpectedly, you would have to say. And for Kerry, it's a young team. I guess it's spearheaded by the anointed one, who is David Clifford. He may well go down as the best GAA player many of us have seen if he keeps up with this trajectory. So we have Galway with kind of nothing to lose in a way under this legendary player in Joyce, now turned manager. And we have Kerry, who is probably a sense like, you know, lost to Dublin a couple of years ago in the final, ambushed by Tyrone last year. It's like time to deliver now. And obviously, as you well know, there is pressure on any Kerry team to deliver. So what they have done is they almost come in here in from the opposite corner to Pádraig Joyce. They went for Jack O'Connor, who, you know, is going for his fourth All-Ireland as manager. This is his sixth All-Ireland final as Kerry manager. He's won at every grade as coach. He doesn't have the playing career of Joyce, but he's won three All-Irelands with Kerry. He's managed the team to an under-21 All-Ireland, minor managing winner in 2014 and 15. He's won five Munster titles as a coach. He's won four National Leagues as a coach. And you go back to the 90s and just an array of school titles. So like just a serial winner as a manager at every grade for coming up on 30 years now. So they brought O'Connor back this year to finally kind of get this Clifford-inspired young generation over the line. And, you know, certainly the sense after Sean O'Shea kicked that extraordinary point against Dublin,
yeah,
in that, you know, immediate euphoria, I think everyone said, well, Kerry are going to win. Like, they've done it. They're going to win the All-Ireland by 5, 6, 7 points. It's funny, as Sunday approaches, you know, you asked what are the kind of big talking points. I suppose the big talking point, as you make a bit of a case for Galway, is one, nothing to lose for sure. And two, Galway under Joyce, and ironic given he was this wonderful forward player in his day, but under Joyce, they have become a very defensively savvy team. So people are saying, well, this is the first time that Kerry will have come up against like an ultra well-organized defensive unit. They got a bit of that against Cork earlier this year and actually struggled a bit against it for 45, 50 minutes. But aside from that, like Dublin in the semi-final, Dublin's not a shut up shop defensive type challenge. So there's kind of a sense that like first 25, 30 minutes here, Galway's plan will be ultra defensive. Don't concede goals. Don't let Clifford run riot. And let's just stay in this game. And let's see when we get into the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if we're within a point or two. Let's see what all this pressure that's on Kerry does to them. Let's see what the recent scar tissue does to them. Let's see how all that manifests and then we kind of half fancy our chances. So I would say from a Galway perspective, avoiding a blowout early on is very much the order of the day. And then let's just see how composed this Kerry team are with all the weight of expectation and recent heartbreak. So, you know, in that way, it's kind of an intriguing final.
Well, from a neutralist point of view, it doesn't sound that exciting.
No. People have made that point. I've heard quite a few seasoned onlookers saying they're not expecting a classic. So I guess the only way it maybe becomes something of a classic is if in that those opening 14, 15, 20 minutes, Kerry do get a goal, Kerry do catch fire, Kerry do, you know, go a few points up, and Galway have to say to themselves, right, we need to go for this now.
Unpark the bus.
All hell breaks loose in that respect. Yeah. We have to unpark the bus, yeah. So that's the hope. And, you know, if you're a neutral, I guess the nightmare scenario is Kerry opened up early on, Galway came out to play, Kerry opened up some more, and by 50 minutes we have a tension-free procession.
Yes, okay. The football version of Limerick maybe having come out after half-time and scoring 5 or 6 points and killing off last weekend's All-Ireland. Thankfully, it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. And I saw doing the rounds on Twitter yesterday that the Kerry GAA were tweeting, there's a big picture of David Clifford with his arms in celebration, and they're pushing like the All-Ireland final celebration in Coppers, get your ticket for €20. So I suspect that's been the talk, I think, of Galway WhatsApps for the last 24 hours.
All right. Well, listen, we look forward to it, Joe. Thanks a million.
All right, Kieran. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe Molloy of Off the Ball. We're going to be speaking to some former All-Ireland winners from Kerry and Galway shortly after 6 o'clock, so don't go anywhere.